Hi, everyone. Stephen Fletcher here. Welcome to episode 32 of the EvoFi podcast, a finance podcast for humans. Today's podcast is a follow-up to episode 31. We're talking about Secure Act 2.0 again. Dave O'Brien and I dive into the changes to catch-up contributions, new Roth options, and where your retirement dollars should be going. Just a point of clarification, during the podcast, we talk about the changes to catch-up contributions, and there are two. Starting in 2023, the new catch-up contribution amount for retirement plan participants who are over 50 is $7,500. Starting in 2025, participants between the ages of 60 and 63 will get an even larger catch-up contribution of at least $10,000. So keep in mind, if you aren't between 60 and 63, your new catch-up contribution will be $7,500. If you're not already a subscriber, please subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Check us out on Twitter and Instagram at EvoFi Podcast, or drop the podcast a line at evofipodcast@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. As a reminder, this podcast is 100% free of any tax, legal, or investment advice. Our goal here is education and a little fun. If you need advice in any of the areas mentioned, tailored to your specific circumstances, feel free to give us a call and we'll see how we can help. Now, let's get to the podcast. So, Dave, last time we talked about the early years of retirement and how Secure Act 2.0 changed required minimum distributions, how it didn't change qualified charitable distributions, and some planning opportunities that we can take advantage of to make the most out of early retirement years.
And this time we're going to go back in time and talk about the pre-retirement years. So first we'll talk about retirement, now we're going to talk about pre-retirement.
Yes, exactly. So just a few, right off the bat, a few of the rules from Secure Act 2.0, the things that it changed. So number one, there are now Roth Simple IRAs and Roth SEP IRAs. We're not really going to spend a lot of time talking about these. There are certain situations where maybe they make sense, and for some clients, they should have them. For the most part, I think we would probably agree that
you want a 401k.
A 401k is going to be better.
Yep. If you own a business, there are some times where a SEP IRA makes sense. Simple IRA just to me does not make sense. And all the years I've been at this, I just don't see the real benefit. Can't save as much into them. So let's talk about what happens with the 401k with Secure 2.0. What do people need to know?
So firstly, there is now no required minimum distribution from your employer plan Roth accounts. So for someone who has pre-tax money, so you're getting a tax deduction for putting it in, eventually there will be a required minimum distribution. For the portion of your 401k or 403b, if you're allowed to make Roth contributions, there's not going to be a required minimum distribution on that portion.
It's and even though we're talking about pre-retirement, it'll make sense why we're bringing this up in retirement. So basically, everybody who's ever put money into their 401k, regular pre-tax deferrals, lower your tax today. In the future, when you have to start taking that out, when you've hit your required minimum distribution age, the required beginning date, it's been age 70 and then it went up to 72, that's when the tax man gets his bite at that money coming out.
Exactly.
There were Roth contributions added into a lot of 401k plans. I think it's about 85% of 401ks in this country allow employees to put money in as a Roth after-tax contribution. So it doesn't help you today, but in the future, that money is not taxable when you take it out, just like a regular Roth IRA. Only thing is, Stephen, as you point out, it was confusing for people because if someone kept their money in their 401k after they stopped working and they had Roth dollars in there, which is probably nobody today, but going forward, it would be some people, those Roth dollars in the 401k were subject to required minimum distributions, even though they weren't taxed. So it was probably really going to be a big confusion for everybody. So now this makes Roth is Roth, Roths don't have to have distributions right. coming out, whether it's an IRA, a 401k, 457, 403b. Roth is Roth. Roth is not required. Lots of R's there.
Yeah. Look at that. They made something simpler. Another change is employer matching in your 401k or your 403b, starting in 2024, can now be Roth. A few very important pieces here. Number one, for everyone that's thinking, oh my gosh, the money that my employer was putting in there that was going to be tax deferred and I'd have to pay ordinary income tax when I take it out, I can get that in there and growing tax-free now. That can be a very big pro. However, those dollars will show up as taxable on your W-2. So your wages are going to go up, even though it doesn't necessarily feel like your wages are going up. And so from a where do I land for this tax year and making sure that I have enough withheld, what am I going to owe versus refund in April, all that stuff, there's considerations here. So it's not just a simple, you know, flip the switch and let's go. Let's make sure that we've just thought through all of those permutations. And then I think one thing, Dave, that you kind of mentioned as well is that your employer also needs to have their payroll set up and everything ready for this, because not necessarily all payroll providers or employers are going to be ready when 2024 hits to be able to, as of January 1st, their matching is Roth.
Well, not all their matching is Roth, right? It's so if anybody listening, you've got a regular old 401k, you're putting your money in and it's reducing how much you're taxed on because you're doing pre-tax deferrals. Up till 2024 and even beyond 2024, if you're doing pre-tax deferrals, your employer's making contributions, probably matching contributions into your account. That has the same tax character. It's pre-tax. It's not taxed to you right now.
Right.
But here's what's important. Currently, if you're making a Roth contribution, so it's not reducing your tax, and it is an after-tax dollar going in that grows without being taxed, and under today's tax laws, when you take it out when you're in your 70s or 80s, that's not taxed then. Now, starting in 2024, if you do a Roth contribution, you can tell your employer, I want you to put your money in as a Roth contribution. So if you're a business owner, check with the people who yep. manage your 401k and make sure that your payroll system is going to be able to do this. Make sure that your plan's record keeper is going to be able to keep those records straight. And if you're an employee of a company and you're doing Roth contributions, you want to ask them now so that they've got some months to start preparing for this, because this is something that is very likely going to not be on January 1st. A feature in most plans.
Right.
Companies are going to be scrambling, and I mean, we're ready for it, but I think it's an important thing to just remember to ask your employer, are you ready for this?
Sure, sure. Another really big change is for those who are over 50 and making their catch-up contribution to their 401k. So you have your deferral limit that you can just make. Anyone can make it. For 2023, that's $22,500. Then for those who are over 50, you have a catch-up contribution that's currently $7,500 a year. If you are over 50 and you are what is classified as a high wage earner, which is $145,000 in wages or more from one employer, you are no longer going to be eligible to make a pre-tax catch-up contribution to your 401k. It must now be Roth. You don't get the option of making $7,500 that lowers your taxable income starting in 2024.
So that's kind of a big deal for people, right? So if anybody's listening, if you aren't 50, this doesn't apply to you. But you will be 50 someday with hope. I'll say, you know, I've reached that point, right? So I understand that the catch-up is pretty cool. This year you can put $30,000 all in into your 401k. If you are 50 or above or about to turn 50 and you are or will be making over that $145,000, here's the big thing that you just need to get prepared for and mentally is that right now that catch-up that gets you up to $30,000 of contributions in 2023, next year it's going to be $10,000. Currently, it reduces your taxable income in the future, that additional $10,000, the catch up, will not reduce your taxes because it'll be a Roth contribution. So it's a little bit of a good thing that more money can go in, and a little bit of maybe a change that some people would say is a bad thing because it's not reducing your tax right now if you're making over $145,000 next year. And Stephen, like you and I were talking about this before, before we turn the mics on, this is something I think we're going to see, you know, the regular financial press that people read in airports and stuff of, you know, like, well, maybe you shouldn't be making that catch up because it's not lowering your tax. And I would challenge that person to say, well, then what else are you going to do with the money?
Right.
So if you're going to save, if you're saving the money now, if you're maxing out, if you're one of those lucky people who can put $30,000 a year into your 401k plan because you're over 50, and if you're one of those lucky people who's making over $145,000, next year you get to save more. And if you are already saving $30,000, don't worry about the fact that a part of your saving next year, $10,000, isn't going to lower your tax bill right away. It's going to give you money into a Roth account that currently you can't make. You can't put the money in the Roth. And what is the alternative? Well, you could not save that money into your 401k and spend it. That doesn't help you long term. Or you could save it into what type of an account? Just a regular old taxable account. Okay, that's great because you could use the money, but when you take that money out, it's subject to capital gains tax.
Right.
And along the way, that money might generate some tax bill for you too. So this is a really good thing for those people, 50 plus, over $145,000, $10,000 next year, it'll go up over time, we'll be able to put money into a Roth account. And that just goes to like good financial planning for your financial future with various types of accounts that you want to have, different taxable treatment of your accounts.
Yep. Two more just kind of quick but potentially big points on catch-up contributions. So for IRAs, for a long time, anyone over the age of 50, if you were making an IRA contribution, your catch-up contribution to it was just $1,000. That has now been changed to be indexed for inflation. So right now, pretty much, you know, whoop-dee-doo, that's going to go from 1,000 to like 1,100 and then 1,200. So not a big change right away, but over time that could end up being big. So if you're someone who's not yet 50, but you know that in the future you're going to want to accelerate some retirement savings, that could end up being a sizable number in the future. And then for some employees in their 60s and how they come up with this particular portion of the law, who knows? But for some employees in their 60s, that would be ages 61, 62, and 63. Starting in 2025, the catch-up contribution will be increased by at least that $10,000, but the rule is $10,000 or 150% of the catch-up contribution indexed for inflation. So even based on the $7,500 that we have today, that's going to be a contribution of greater than $10,000. But the point is, when you're close to retirement, even if you want to stay until 70, when you're in your 60s, you're going to be able to kind of supercharge some of that retirement savings into your employer.
And this starts getting confusing, right? I can just see people going, oh, wait, say those numbers again. just hit rewind 15 seconds a few times and you can hear them. But starting 2025, age 61, 62, 63, you're going to be able to make an even bigger catch-up contribution. Why it doesn't go 64 and 65 too, I don't know. But this is the kind of planning opportunity where it's like, just whoever you're working with, make sure that they're really, really familiar with this stuff, because these are opportunities to either get it wrong and have a mistake or miss out on an opportunity.
Yep. So, you know, with all of these changes that we're talking about here, I think for each person at the end of the day, the question just becomes, well, then where should my retirement dollars be going? And what are some of those key considerations as I'm thinking about, hey, this is the amount that I have to put towards long-term savings, what's the right bucket for it to go into? And, you know, we are big fans of the, you know, if you kind of think about your savings as a three-legged stool, you have your tax-deferred portion. That's your traditional contribution to your 401k plan and everything else. That's a really important piece because it means that we're optimizing your tax picture today, right? It doesn't make sense to be earning a lot of money, be in a high tax bracket, and be paying your ordinary income tax rate
more tax
on all of that.
Yep.
But we don't want to just see you reach retirement and only have that one piece, because if you need to buy a car, guess what? You're increasing your taxable wages in retirement by the amount that you need to pull out to buy a car. It limits some of the flexibility that we have to make sure that you have the most optimal financial position possible.
So if you have a one-legged stool and it is a pogo stick, I guess, and it's just IRA, 401k, pre-tax stuff, every dollar that you take out is taxed as if you earned it. And so that's not a good stool.
Right.
What are the other two?
The second piece is what you would just call taxable money. This is what's in a regular brokerage account. Could be an individual account. Could be a joint account. And this is...
Could be a bank account.
Could be a bank account. But it's savings that you have that's outside of a retirement account. The major benefit here is that you have all the flexibility in the world. You don't have to wait for a particular time when you put it in to take it out if you need it. It is going to generate some ordinary income through interest and dividends, or it's going to spark some capital gains income. So there's still going to be a tax impact to it, but it has a lot more flexibility.
And the taxable gain is going to be taxed at a lower tax rate than the income.
Right.
So it's more tax efficient.
Right. And so if you are in retirement and you have plenty of taxable and you have plenty of tax deferred, then you do have some strategies that are available to you. You can, keeping an eye on what taxes look like today, what they could look like in the future, you can adjust withdrawal strategies, make sure that you're optimizing your position a little bit more.
This is money that you're going to have to take out, required minimum distributions from a retirement account. And then if you need more money, a good next place to go might be that regular old taxable account.
Right. Right.
Pay less in tax.
Right. And then that third leg is what we've talked about already. So you're a high wage earner. You're about to have to make your catch-up contribution as Roth. Maybe you're sweating that increase in your taxable wages today, but that can end up having a really big positive impact in retirement. If you're in a situation where additional taxable income, because you're going to have required minimum distributions, you're going to have Social Security benefits, there's going to be some income already coming to you. If you're at that kind of break point where more income pushes you into a higher tax bracket, or if you have to worry about your Medicare Part B premiums increasing, and you have a medical emergency, or you have a car that you need to purchase, or a home repair, or something where you need to take some money out of your portfolio, and it just can't wait, and taking it out of taxable is going to realize some capital gains, which is going to be income that gets taken into account for all of these different tax brackets and Medicare Part B premiums, and you don't want to take it out at your ordinary income rate, well, then having Roth, having that third leg of the stool that is a tax-free leg of the stool, assuming you follow all of the Roth rules, can make a significant difference in some of these years. And so with all three of those legs, we have a very balanced stool. We have an approach that really leaves all of the potential planning options on the table.
You've got what you've got to take out from your RMD, from your IRA, that's taxed at your regular income tax rate. Then you've got your taxable account. You're probably going to have some income tax, interest and dividends, but that's capital gains tax for any of the gains that you're realizing. And the third is tax-free.
Yeah.
It's taken out of the Roth.
Yeah.
So the Secure Act 2.0 actually helps a lot of folks who are in that 50 plus, who are higher wage earners, who can't put any money into Roth. It's helping them put money into Roth right now.
Right, right.
It's forcing them to.
Exactly. So, if the question at this point is, okay, well, where do I land with each of the three legs of the stool, and how should I be balancing my money between those three? At the end of the day, I mean, the answer is there's no one-size-fits-all solution. Not everyone's long-term plan is going to look the same. Retirement's not going to look the same for everybody. And so for one person, having having one leg of the stool that is bigger than the others is not a problem. But for someone else, maybe you need legs on the stool that are much more equally weighted. And how we do that and the various planning opportunities that we have to kind of move money back and forth in between those accounts really comes down to the individual situation. And so you know, at the end of the day, all of this is really helpful information. And now what do we do with it? Well, work with your team, whoever that might be, whether that's Evo or somebody else, work with your team to make sure that they're, number one, knowledgeable of all of these things. And then number two, that you come up with the plan that is right for you and the financial future that you want to live, so that you have the rightly balanced stool as you approach retirement.
There you go.